Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's get ready for Richmond, the Cup Series. And the best way to do that is to go over Phoenix. I know that Phoenix is not the most comparable track, but it's the best that we've got. And it's the only one that we've got in this package. It does have some short flat track tendencies, although those may be overstated at times. There is some correlation. So you know what? We're looking at Phoenix. If it's not for you, you can wait for another video later this week, like when I break down optimal lineups from Phoenix and optimal lineups from past Richmond. That'll be later this week. And also, I'll go through practice data and correlation with results at Phoenix and possibly also last year's Richmond. Although, as I've brought up before, we have to be careful in which race we weigh the most. Last year, the package was different, but Richmond is Richmond. We got a new package at Phoenix. What do you want to factor in? Where I stand at the very least is I want to factor both of them in. I don't throw out data. I don't completely ignore stuff. I think that's pretty foolish. Really, the smartest way is which race do you want to allow to influence you more? It's up to you. Make the decision. Also, later this week, we'll probably break down some Phoenix laps, all the Phoenix lap data. The time of the session is significant. As I have tweeted out and mentioned in previous podcasts, Group A versus Group B results at Richmond, it was significant. If you were in Group B during practice, it was an advantage. Fast forward to Phoenix this season. You look at the lap times, and I'll just go ahead and pull this up. Might as well talk about this now. I probably will talk about it later. One of the things that I did in preparing research in podcast, in the picks, and doing projections was really to highlight drivers practice late in the session where the data was the most significant. I threw out a lot of the top speeds by a driver that were early in the session. As you can see, these were 3 minutes, 2 minutes into practice. I wanted to see, okay, well, what did Alex Bowman do 50 minutes into the session? I didn't care. And a lot of the speed charts, a lot of your 5, 10, 15, 20 lap averages, a lot of the normie stats, they're not normie stats, I'm just messing with you. But a lot of the regular stats, oh, this guy was the fastest in practice. Oh, this guy was fastest in 5 lap average or 10 lap average. They were incredibly skewed, incredibly misleading, and weren't really good numbers because those were speeds that were coming early in the session, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes into the session. And so drivers that were on top of the pole, on top of the charts, you could have a reasonable expectation that they're not really going to be that fast or that they weren't that fast. What we really wanted to look at was you had to really dig in the data, if you had every single piece, and see who was really fast at the end. Now, we're not going to have one big session this week. We will go back to a split session, so it's a big advantage for Group B. But if you had this data, you could see, all right, well, Christopher Bell's fine. But what you really loved about Christopher Bell was you could go and look, this is late in the session. And this guy just made a 32-lap run. And he's not experiencing very much fall off at all. And so it was clear to anyone. It was clear to most people without deep stats. But it was overwhelmingly clear if you were able to look at these numbers and see what he was running deep in his run and deep in the session. So that being said, I'd like to look at the Group B guys this week because just the data that they're going to get is going to be invaluable. Today we're going to break down the race specifically. One thing I will go over before I break over the specifics, which is look at the lap times also in this sheet. If you want to get your hands on all this beautiful data, raceforthepriz.com, $10 for Richmond. Maybe you want to bundle that in and sign up for April. I haven't released the April information yet, but if you would like to, because you haven't purchased yet, DM me, email me, raceforthepriz06@gmail.com. Everyone is welcome here. Come on in. Fastest in terms of lap times, Martin Truex Jr., just barely over Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell in number two, if we look at all the lap times. Coming in three is Tyler Reddick, who had the second highest driver rating in this race. That was following the Las Vegas race, where he also had the second highest driver rating. And then number four, we got Denny Hamlin. And then at number five, we've got Ty Gibbs. So four of the top five, all JGR Toyotas. Five, all Toyotas. Very fast. Very sporty. We expect the same at Richmond. Number four, break down the laps. Break down the race. One of the things I want to mention is it's very easy to fall in love with Toyota this week. You want to jam in the Yotas? I don't mind. But let me caution you. Remember, Richmond is wacky. There's a lot of strange things that can happen in this race. And we have a new package on top of that. What are some of the strange things? Or, well, maybe not so much strange, but there are a lot of variables at play. Pit road is a monster here. We will have significant pit road penalties. We will have significant pit road changes or lead changes because of fast pit times. We'll get lead changes because of cycling. We'll get lead changes because of one-stop strategies, two-stop strategies, no-tire strategies, two-tire strategies, four-tire strategies. A leader could find themselves restarting 15th. A leader could find himself starting behind a guy with no tires or two tires, and there is a wreck. All of these things can and will play out at Richmond. And I say that because just because Toyota looks really fast, it doesn't mean they're going to lead the most laps. Probably should. It doesn't mean they're going to run the most fast laps. Fast laps, because of all of the variables that I just said, get spread throughout. Yes, there will be a strong correlation with fast laps and laps led among the top of the pack. The guy that leads the most laps will also run fast laps. The drivers that run in the top five will also run fast laps. But there will be outliers. The fast laps spread throughout the field. And then there's the guy that makes the two-tire stop, who pits 15 laps sooner each stage than everyone else. And that's 15 fast laps that he puts in his pocket. And at the end of the race, his average running position was 20th. And yet he ends up with 20 hog points or dominator points. Just the way that it is. All right, let's break down the race. Denny Hamlin loses the lead early to Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs has two really good restarts in this race. Bookends it. At the beginning, at the end. Has a great race, as you can see. He salvages his race a little bit because in between he has a bad pit stop. But the amazing restart at the end really helps him out. Anyway, Gibbs gets the lead right out the gate. Then right out the gate, we get that Derek Krause crash that takes out Cindric, that damages severely Austin Dillon. So much for their races. Let's run it forward. Pretty static on the screen, as you can see. Not a lot of movement, but there is movement. There are slow climbers throughout who are able to dig. We'll talk more about those in a bit. Gibbs is going to run us all the way until pit stops. No, I'm sorry. Gibbs will lead until 56, and then it turns into the Reddick show. The other Toyota takes over. Reddick really climbing here late. Starts sixth. Slowly, methodically moves his way up. Takes the lead before the end of the stage break. Cool. It's the Reddick day. Not so fast, my friend. Denny Hamlin and his fast pit crew say, I'll go ahead and take this lead. Something that we're about to expect going into this Richmond race. Denny Hamlin obviously had speed at Phoenix. This pit crew had speed at Phoenix. If we're leaning on pit crews, then Denny Hamlin is a favorite to lead some laps. All right, now we run it forward, and it's Denny Hamlin's day. Denny is leading, Tyler in second, pretty much static inside the top 10. Now we're going to get some green flag pit cycling, and in this moment, we're going to see Ty Gibbs really have a bad stop, going from 7th, dropping now down. He'll cycle into 15th. Erik Jones also cycling backwards, bad pit. Briscoe, not terrible. Michael McDowell, bad sequence. It's really about all we really need to focus on during that turn. We cycle out, and Reddick is going to cycle to the lead. And he will run it to the end of the stage until the big dog comes calling. And we all know who that is. So again, we're running after pit cycling. It's now Reddick. It's Hamlin. One thing worth noting here, because people were down on Byron and Elliott. Byron and Elliott were in the picture for most of this race. Hendrick wasn't as bad as stated. Did Hendrick disappoint? It just all depends on how you want to frame it. Toyota was just super fast, folks. Sure, it's just that's it. And it's really, I think Hendrick is fine. Either way, we got Reddick and Hamlin running up front, and then eventually Reddick gets run down, and Christopher Bell on the long run is able to pass. We also can see Mark Trix Jr. climbing up here, now into the top five. We've got a couple Fords in the picture. Eric Jones, after that poor pit sequence, he restarted the stage in eighth. Started the stage in eighth, finishes in 13th, mainly because not so much fall off as it was that pit road issue. Same thing with Chase Briscoe. We can see McDowell lost some spots. Who gained spots on that stage? Buescher now up to 10th from restarting 14th. Chastain's in the same spot. Suarez got a couple. Josh Berry completely falling out of the picture. Alex Bowman. We beat up on Bowman a lot. But in stage two, starts 18th. Rallies to 12th. Does it look like Hendrick is super slow? I wouldn't say so. So pretty good run right there. Ty Gibbs, not so much. Faded a little bit. Had that bad pit stop. Faded. Not a good sequence for him. Now this is where the race gets kind of hairy. We enter stage three and we get a series of cautions to begin stage three. And wouldn't you know it, Mr. Hamlin takes the lead back on pit road. He has a good pit stop, maybe not great, probably good. But what really kills Bell is a really slow pit stop. He loses a ton of positions. That hurts. It's all right. Still be fine and fancy. Riddick stares where he should be. Everybody else pretty much maintaining position. We got Elliott in the top five. We got Blaney's up there. Truex has creeped his way into the scene. Brad Keselowski having a solid day. Let me flip over here and see how many top 10 laps did Keselowski have. About 71% of the race. Had to work his way through the field. Same thing with Ryan Blaney. Had to work their way through the field. And let's not undersell that. We're working the way through the field in a brand new package where it's not very easy to pass. We got to give some credit here to those two Ford drivers. Pretty good. Obviously, the Toyotas deserve credit as well, but it's worth mentioning. Who else do we have starting up in the top 10? Noah Gregson. Very good day for Noah Gregson. Looking good. The Toyota. No, he's not Toyota. He's not with Legacy Motor Club anymore. Stuart Haas. SHR Fords were pretty good, although we may see in the end that the SHR Fords may have a slightly inflated finish. That's something I want to explore a little bit deeper, and we'll see how it is. Because, you know, we'll explore that in a second. Chastain recovering. Here's Alex Bowman, man. Come on. Not bad. And Buescher getting there, too. Okay. So then we have the Kyle Busch spin very early. We'll go to another restart, and on this restart, we have the John Hunter Nemechek running over Barry. LaJoy is in that. Logano is in that, and Zane Smith is in that. Runs him over. Wasn't a particularly good day for Logano in that spot anyway. I think any of those drivers who wrecked in the back were having very good days, but you never know. There's a lot of race still left, but not for those guys. So then we restart after that wreck. Now we got Tyler Reddick is going to take the lead. Maybe not the best day of restarts for Dennis Hamlin. And that's only going to be more exaggerated on this next one. So we know Hamlin lost the lead at the beginning. We know Hamlin lost the lead on that one. And then Hamlin decides he's going to spin out. Tyler Reddick's still in the lead. Blaney loses some spots. I'm not going to break down that one. This is the key moment, though. We've got the Hamlin spin, and that's where everything changes. That's where teams have to make the decision. Fuel saving, make a long run. You can see clearly on your screen right here a huge shift in the color. Truex had earned it. Truex was in second place. This was a huge gamble. I'm really surprised that they decided to go in this direction and not pit and not go toe-to-toe with Christopher Bell. Could they have won that battle? I don't know. I mean, when we looked at average speed, technically, Martin Truex Jr. had the best average speed, but it's by, a hundredth of a second, probably. They made the decision to go this route. And then you see Ryan Preece stays out. Todd Gilliland stays out. Buescher stays out. Chastain, Briscoe, McDowell. They were running 10th to the teens before all these cautions. We look at where they finished stage two. Preece was in 20th. Gilly 29th, not a surprise there. Buescher 10th. Chastain 15th. And that's probably the speed that he had. Briscoe 18, McDowell 19, Jones. Up and down day, showed some short run speed, kind of struggled in dirty air, recovered a couple times. Stenhouse 31, Gibbs was in 17th, but that's just had that bad green flag pit stop, faded a little bit. Overall, he was turning better laps. Bubba 16. So we look at those and you then look at finishing position, and my concern was, it's not a concern. This could be a little bit of leverage. So this week, people will look at Chastain. Whoa, he finished sixth at Phoenix. Yeah, but he was a 15th place car if you actually look at the lap-by-lap data. Briscoe got out top 10. McDowell, you know, you're going to look at the finishing position, and people are going to hang on that, and they're going to make their picks. Whereas if you're looking at this stage break, and then you're looking at this lap 216 caution, you say, I may not completely dismiss Ross Chastain or rule him out, but I am going to make sure that I have the context and look at the big picture when I'm making my fantasy NASCAR picks, doing the research, putting in the work, listening to the pod, leaving the likes, subscribing, sharing, everything. Okay, we'll see how this plays out. All right? It's a fine strategy. Let's see how it works out for you, Pepper. So they stay out and try to hang on to fuel. More significantly, these dudes are now in traffic at Phoenix in the new package. The first one that I want to point out is the first two-tire driver, which is Ty Gibbs. He restarts 10th. So Stenhouse stays out. First two-tire guy, Gibbs. Great restart. 10th to 3rd. Despite being on two tires, that cleaner air allows him to hang on. So he was in 17th, had that bit of a struggle. Good strategy call. He had already moved up a little bit before that. Great. Works out for him. Bubba Wallace, Rex and Eric Jones, does not work out for him. Him and Eric Jones, all right, you guys are now out of the picture on this hairy restart. Brad Keselowski will gain spots. Well, when you've got these two guys wrecking, you're going to be guaranteed two spots to begin with. Suarez, you're guaranteed some spots because of the guys wrecking. Kyle Larson, who had a pretty much average day, middle of the road, restarting 14th. Just never can climb out of this traffic. Not a great restart, and he just is stuck there. And he's stuck there because he doesn't have a better car. Because we look at a guy like Tyler Reddick, who starts first, he'll climb forward. Not as much as others, but as we have said in previous podcasts, the Toyotas were able to pass. The Toyotas were able to pit on lap 215, slap on fresh tires, and make passes. Larson may have had speed. Overall, the Chevys, like we mentioned before, Byron and Elliott were in the top five all day, but they were just in the top five all day. They started around the front and stayed around the front, but never did we really talk about, oh, Byron's moving forward. Elliott's moving forward. They were able to race with the drivers around them. They weren't able to pass. The significant difference in this Phoenix race, which could be the case again in Richmond, is Toyota can not only race, but Toyota can pass, and that is demonstrated in the final run of this race, where Byron, Elliott, Larson, obviously Larson wasn't having the best day, but Byron was in the top five before this sequence. Elliott was top 10 before this sequence. They're never able to climb out, whereas Bell is starting deeper. He is starting 20th, and this dude grinds. And grinds probably doesn't tell the whole picture because we are quickly grinding. What's a verb for quickly grinding? Grinding seems too slow. It seems too methodical. Although he was methodical and meticulous, this thing was like super drilled. Drilled through the field. Okay, let's run out. Let's look first at the drivers who went fuel mileage and see, are these inflated finishes? Truex, obviously, we'll look at him. He runs it out. This is not inflated. He pits late. He has to pit. Some of these guys have fuel. He goes in, comes out with fresh tires, and is just clocking some fast laps. So on one hand, because of this additional pit stop that he's taking over other drivers, that's one of the reasons why, in the end, he is going to have a slightly faster lap average time than Christopher Bell with a 28.9 as opposed to a 29. As you can see here, late in the race, he's clicking off 28.9s. Bell's in the 29.5s. These are all influencing his averages. So, yeah, if you use more tires than someone else, then clearly you're going to, end of the day, have a faster lap time. So a truer representation, you probably, provided by the context of understanding the race, you'd say Bell was the fastest and Truex was second. And it's quite possible that maybe Truex could have even slid to third or fourth. Quite possible. It doesn't matter. We're splitting hairs at that point. Toyotas are fast. So Truex does his thing and is able to recover, get to seventh. Probably shouldn't have gone with that strategy. Ryan Preece can't make it hang on. He's got a pit, so it doesn't work out for him. He finishes 23rd, which actually, of the Stuart Haas Racing, his average running position was 18.2. He had a top 20 car, didn't get his finish, strategy didn't work out, didn't save fuel. So maybe he is the gem. Maybe other SHR Fords are going to get elevated and inflated, and people will overlook Preece because of a poor finish, but he was better than 23rd, not much. Gillen is able to save fuel, make it work, so don't fall in love with Gillen. But at the same time, his average running position was 17.6. So that really isn't too much of an inflation. It really isn't. I mean, if we look, 17.6, hell, he ran half the race inside the top 15, half the race inside the top 20. That's a pretty accurate representation, even with the gamble. Chris Buescher is able now to finish in second by playing the strategy. Despite only having average running position of 12.4, he was good. But was he great? He was good, but were the Fords that much better than Chevy? I mean, think about it. Reframe it in your mind, because you got to make some picks this week at Richmond. And we always want actionable content. And we want to think about it from other people's perspectives. Other guys are going to see Buescher in the hot run that he's on. They're going to look at this finish a second. and they're going to look mainly at finishing position. And they may not deep dive into specific runs. And my thought right now in this moment is that a lot of your regular touts and regular users are going to like Buescher a lot, especially since he won this race last year, and they're going to lean on this second place finish at Phoenix, and they're also going to downgrade Hendrick. But if we go back to that caution on lap 215, what if Roush takes the tires, Hendrick stays out, the tables turn, we get five Chevy drivers finishing in the top 10. Elliott, Byron get top 10s. Larson sneaks in there. Maybe even get top 5s. No one's worried about Chevy. No one's worried about Hendrick. What's wrong with RFK? What's wrong with Buescher? Well, that's not what happened. What happened was Buescher stayed out. Buescher got the top 5. Hendrick did not. Hendrick looks bad, but that could just be a facade. Ross Chastain gets a 6th place finish despite really just being a 15th place car. Average running position of 13.2. He hangs on. Chase Briscoe, 9th. McDowell, 8th. Remember where these drivers were running. They finish 5, 6, 7, or 6, 7, 8. Whichever. And yet, here they were. They were in 16th, 19th, 18th. It's clearly inflated. But again, that can happen at Richmond. And so be prepared for that. But what we can at least do is not pretend that, oh, it's a good race for Ross Chastain. It really wasn't. Oh, it was a good race for Briscoe. Yeah, he was a plus race for Briscoe. Average running position of 12. A plus race for Michael McDowell. It's made to look even better with the top 10. It wasn't bad. I'm not trying to bury them. But I don't want to get too excited. Erik Jones has that incident with Bubba at the beginning of the stage. Really hurts his day. It would have been interesting to see how things would have played out. And then he also had the Briscoe situation. I think that's whatever at this point. Stenhouse can't really hang on. He fades. At least he makes it to the end of the race. Ty Gibbs had that really good restart, two-tire strategy. Bubba Wallace gets into the wreck, incident ends up finishing 16th. Brad Keselowski, I imagine, took two tires, and he is able to climb forward a little bit. Obviously, he's going to gain spots from Bubba. He's going to gain spots from Stenhouse. He's going to gain a spot from Jones. So that's 3 spots baked in. Did he get any more than that? So he went from 12th, and he finishes 4th. So he gets the 3 baked in spots. And his Ford is able to pass guys that stayed out and that were saving fuel. So, again, he was closer to the front. And he only had 2 tires, but he made it work. Suarez, Larson don't do anything in traffic. Reddick on 4, really kind of disappointing. You would have expected more here. Maybe he took 2. I'd have to double check. But he cycles out of the lead, restarts 15th, and doesn't go anywhere. Boy. That's really disappointing for him not to work. But again, we see that from all these guys. Once you get back here in the dirty air, Byron goes nowhere. Gregson goes a little bit forward. But overall, not a lot of movement. The guy that makes the movement, Christopher Bell, climbs all the way back up to first. Restarted 20th. Elliott went nowhere on that run. Gregson actually was able to move forward a little bit. Wonder where he got those spots. Wonder if he gained them right at the very beginning with a decent restart. And that's your yes. He doesn't really climb anywhere. There it is. Gets to the 13th, 11th on lap 224, and just pretty much holds. Everybody just holds. Bell moves forward. Blaney on this run really digs. That's a very good finish for him. Looks like Hosever gets a pretty good movement here. He digs his way up, something to look at. And then Denny Hamlin, after the spin, digs the best that he can, gets his way forward, is able to secure an 11th place finish, clearly much worse than his average. Hosever had all kinds of issues throughout the day, but overall, pretty good race for him. Bowman stuck there in dirty air, does really pretty much nothing at the end. I think that's a pretty solid breakdown of Phoenix. And we'll talk a little bit more Phoenix next time. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trip to life, fantastic.